Radio 1.
Right now, it's time for Newsbeats with Georgina Bowman in New York.
It's one of those moments in life that will stick with us forever. Everyone knows what they were doing the exact moment they heard the first plane had sliced into the North Tower of the World Trade Center. And we all know what happened next. A year on, Newsbeats back in New York for a special program to see how things have changed.
What? September the 11th, 1 year on. This is Newsbeat, live from New York.
Well, it's 7:45 in the morning here, 12:45 in the UK. I'm on the ninth floor of a hotel overlooking Ground Zero. This is the strangest programme I've ever done. Because I'd never seen the Twin Towers, it's hard to imagine how much of an impact they made on the skyline here. Now there's just a big empty pit. All the debris is long gone. It's the only open space in an area full of 60-storey office blocks. That's just about half the height of the Twin Towers. Through the window right now, I can see a steady stream of yellow cabs on the street because people are going to work today. They're determined to keep things as normal as possible. But America has been put on high alert after new info about possible terrorist attacks. We were out last night. We saw police boats surrounding the Statue of Liberty. Helicopters are patrolling the skies all around me now. Security's also tight across the UK with roadblocks in London. It's going to be hot today, just like this time last year before the devastating set of events which left more than 3,000 dead.
See this big jet, we thought it was just going to try to miss it. Bang! Right into the middle of it, like around the 70th floor.
Two aeroplanes have crashed into the tallest buildings in New York, the World Trade Center.
There was smoke everywhere and people are jumping out the windows, I guess because they're trying to save themselves. I don't know.
I looked up and I saw this huge plume of smoke and the tower just crumbling and it just turned into a huge plume of smoke and next thing you know there's smoke in one tower.
A third plane has crashed into the American Defense Department, the Pentagon, in Washington. That building is now also on fire.
There was no doubt about it. It was American Airlines slammed right into the building and there was no doubt about it. Whoever was piloting that plane was aiming for the Pentagon.
A passenger plane has crashed in Pittsburgh. That's thought to be related to the terrorist attacks as well.
He just said, I want to let you all know that I love you very, very much. That the plane has been taken over by hijackers.
Today, we've had a national tragedy. Terrorism against our nation will not stand.
Newsbeat in New York.
Pipe bands have come to Ground Zero now from every corner of New York. Between now and one, we've got a special report from Afghanistan on how America's war on terror affected young people there. We're also in Hollywood to hear how it reacted after 9/11. But first, let's go live to Newsbeat's New York reporter, Andy Gallagher, who's right down by Ground Zero. Andy, what's it like there?
Actually, incredibly emotional right now. I was one of the first reporters from the UK to make it over here, and I remember turning into this street and just seeing face on the wreckage of the World Trade Center. What was left of the two towers were just these enormous twisted spires of steel jutting out of tons of burning rubble. The sky was black because the smoke was blocking out the sun, and the smell from it made it hard to breathe. But what stuck the most are the people I saw that day, like the rescue workers completely knackered after a 40-hour shift, just sitting on the pavement with their head in their hands.
So what's happening today down there then?
Well, in just less than an hour from now, the memorial service will start with a moment of silence. That's going to be at the exact time that the first plane hit. After that, former Mayor Rudy Giuliani will begin to read out the names of every single victim who died a year ago in attacks right across the states. That's going to take nearly 2 hours because there'll be other moments of silence to mark when the second plane hit and the first tower fell. And the whole thing finishes at the time the second tower collapsed.
And obviously, Andy, security's full on.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to move from here. I've been frisked on the way to Ground Zero and I've got three photo passes just to get to this spot. The US government's very worried that Al-Qaeda are planning another attack either here or overseas. The Vice President, Dick Cheney's even been taken to a secret location in case he has to run the country in place of George Bush.
Cheers, Andy. There's also services where the other two planes came down in Washington and Pennsylvania. Pretty much everywhere around the world is marking September the 11th in some way. Newsbeat's John Stewart's covering events in Britain. John, where are you?
George, I'm outside St. Paul's Cathedral in London. A service of remembrance is about to start here for all the people who died, including the 67 British people. Now, the cathedral itself is cordoned off, but there's been speakers set up out here so people who can't get in can hear what's happening. You can probably hear some of the music starting up behind me at the moment. Prince Charles and Harry are due here, and so is Tony Blair. And during the service, more than 3,000 white rose petals will be released from the ceiling to represent everyone who died.
OK, and what about around the rest of the country?
Well, for starters, everywhere's going to go silent at the same time as you at Ground Zero. In Liverpool, two giant columns of light will be turned on tonight over the waterfront, and there's also public ceremonies in places like Edinburgh and Belfast.
And similar stuff going on around the world?
Yeah, that's right. There's a memorial made from girders of the ruins of the World Trade Center. That's being unveiled in a town in France. In Spain, there's a massive tribute in Madrid. And New Zealand's already marked the anniversary because of the time difference there. They've planted trees outside their US embassy.
Thanks, John.
This is Radio 1.
I'm actually Jazz from Faithless. The radio came and I remember sitting with the CD in my hand, just about to push it in. And the first thing that came out was something like, North Tower of the Twin Towers is still burning. I remember sitting there for about 20 minutes in the car with the engine running, absolutely still, shocked to the roots of my being.
This is Newsbeat, live from New York.
Well, it's 7.51 here in New York, 12.51 in the UK. From our studio, I can see crowds of people getting ready to walk down a long ramp for the ceremony inside Ground Zero. The building right behind them still got a black shroud over it, covering up the damage. There's police cars on the corner of every block with their lights flashing. The images that stick with me from the day are the people covered in thick dust running down the road that I'm looking at now, and the firefighters going in the opposite direction towards the burning building. I went to one fire station yesterday, Engine 6. It's the closest one to Ground Zero. There's photos outside of the four men they lost. One's holding his new baby. I sat on a fire engine with one young guy who's only just started work there.
Firefighter, sixth grade, John Colon. When I saw the way the guys who were on the job at that time, you know, the way they handled themselves, just like, you know, everything they went through, it sort of inspired me. It made me want to be a firefighter. Even though I always wanted to be a fireman, it made me want to be one even more.
I mean, I can't even imagine what it must be like moving into a place to work where you know that four people have died.
It was tough coming into a house because you didn't know what to expect. But then guys, you know, they let you know what the guys were like. You got to know the guys who we lost. It might seem strange, but I almost feel like I know them.
What's it been like working here, kind of building up to this September the 11th?
I think, you know, the past year has sort of been like a healing process. And I think now, the anniversary coming up, I don't want to say the end to it all. I think it's going to help guys.
And has it made you more determined to stick at it? Is that you've never thought about jacking it in?
Yeah. It made me proud to see the determination the guys showed. It's definitely made the job more worth having.
Newsbeat.
My name is Chris Moyles, disc jockey for Radio 1. Memories of September 11th for me for last year were, we were on the, just about to go on the air, Mark and I were on the air, and Andy Parfitt, the boss, came down and told us about the first plane hitting the first tower. It was really weird, and we didn't know exactly how serious it was going to be. When we went on the air, the first tower collapsed, so we knew straight away. The hardest thing was knowing what to say, because I didn't know what to do, which none of us felt like being funny that day, and so we didn't. All we did was report the news that day, which I think was the best thing to do.
Radio 1, live in New York.
If you've just tuned in, this is Newsbeat, coming live from New York. I'm Georgina Bowman in a studio overlooking Ground Zero. I can see lights just starting to come on in the office blocks as the rush hour picks up. Every building has a US flag hanging off it. After last year's attacks, it took just a few hours for America to point the finger at one man and one country. Osama bin Laden had been hiding in Afghanistan for years, planning this. Within weeks, a coalition led by the US bombed the Afghan capital, Kabul, and sent in troops to overthrow the Taliban government. The soldiers are still there, and they haven't caught bin Laden yet. But a lot's changed. Girls are allowed in school now. You can watch what you like on TV, and a new government's on the way. So could terrorists ever hide in Afghanistan again? Newsbeat's Robin Brandt is in Kabul.
This is a second-hand bookshop on a busy afternoon in Kabul. It's blazing sun outside, and every shop here has got a little generator by the door. The man who runs this place is flicking through a book with me at the moment, showing pictures of women and families at the dentist. A year ago, he could have been arrested for that.
At the time of Taliban, there was some books that I couldn't sell, but now I can sell them.
I'm walking down what's called Chicken Street now. Everyone's trying to sell me something.
What do you need? Carpet, jewellery.
How's business?
Not bad, very well. Yeah, after the Taliban.
Marvel Postbaxi.
Now we're heading over to another market. This one's packed full with people. The stalls are lined up in the dried up riverbed. There's food, there's fruit, and there's money, loads of it. Men trying to trade a few dollars for huge wads of Afghanis.
In Taliban times, I am in Pakistan.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Because of the Taliban?
Yes, yes.
Now, Shah Sirhan is 20.
I came back 3 months ago.
He is what has really changed here. The streets are crammed because 1.6 million Afghans have come back since the Americans invaded.
You have new $1.
Now things are a lot better, but they're far from perfect.
Maria.
10.
Maria. What have you been doing today? Seeing your friends?
Chimiko Ninja.
Ninja Khairazami.
I'm begging here. We're driving through the middle of Kabul now, past parts of this city that are basically slums. It's a dangerous place as well. There are lots of guns here, and it feels pretty lawless. Across town, another big change. Women and girls are back in school. That was banned under the Taliban.
Minajan, Fazalajan, Shikibajan.
I'm not.
She has learned about pomegranate.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Now, I'd never been to Afghanistan before, but the change is obvious. All you had to do is talk to people to see that life is immensely better now. But there are a million things to do before it's perfect. But here's the proof that things have got better. Najib is 16. A few months ago, his leg was hit by shrapnel from an American bomb.
In my point of view, what can I say? On one hand, it was good that Taliban evacuated or left here. And on the other hand, what should I say? Nothing.
You can see more about Robin's trip online, bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Radio 1.
Okay, let's go back to Andy right at Ground Zero. Andy, you moved out here 5 months ago to become our New York reporter. How's it been?
Amazing. I've met and got to know people who lost friends and family a year ago, and it's been a privilege to spend time with all of them. One mate was on the last lift down from Tower 2 just before the second plane hit, and we'll be hearing his story in tonight's programme. I also got exclusive access to teenagers who were in the closest school to Ground Zero, just 4 streets from where I'm standing now.
I've seen at least a dozen movies where the World Trade Center somehow gets half destroyed or being hit by something or another. So I didn't know whether to believe it, if it was really happening or if it was just maybe a bad dream.
That's Eugene. He's 15 and along with all his friends had only just started at the school 3 days before the attacks.
I just saw the towers gleaming and the smoke.
Behind me I saw the cloud, but somehow it stopped like right near us and just kept walking. I didn't really look back.
There was this huge hole at the top. There was an airplane tail hanging out of it. There were people in the windows waving handkerchiefs. Some of them even jumped.
People were screaming that we were going to die and that we'd be trapped in the building.
Dr. Mike Cullen carried out a big study into the effect of September the 11th and says thousands of children here are still freaked out.
They don't want to do certain things. They're trying to avoid people or situations or places that remind them of the terrorist attacks. They can't concentrate. They can't focus. As I said, they can't get their schoolwork done. They're not sleeping. They're having nightmares.
There have been art projects, personal counselors in classrooms, and poetry readings to help kids cope with what they saw, either in person or on the telly. Here's teacher Gail Greenbaum.
Sometimes it takes tragedy to make you strong and to make you appreciate it. And I think the kids appreciate life much more. They don't take it for granted.
Personally, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any New Yorker who hasn't now got a new outlook on life.
I live my life as I've never done before.
There will always be something that will be in my mind. I don't think I'll ever be able to forget it.
I will always remember it. It's a tragic day.
It'll be another bad memory that'll file away somewhere.
I think it will always be a part of me, and I can always remember like exactly what happened on that day.
If you want to talk about how you're feeling today, check out the One Life message board. Go to Radio 1 online and click on One Life.
Newsbeat with Georgina Bowman in New York.
Other news now. It's increasingly likely that Tony Blair will recall Parliament to debate a military strike on Iraq. MPs will probably be back at Westminster within 2 weeks. Two women are going to court to stop their former partners destroying their frozen embryos created during fertility treatment. Natalie Evans and Lorraine Hadley can't have children any other way, but their exes don't want to become dads. Two boys have admitted vandalising 150 graves at a cemetery in Bristol. They're both under 10, so too young to be prosecuted.
Radio 1.
back now to Mark Chapman in London for the Lunchtime Sport.
Mark Bowen has resigned as the Wales assistant boss. He's decided to concentrate on his role as Steve Bruce's number two at Birmingham. Bruce wasn't keen on him doing the two jobs. Meanwhile, Birmingham are going to sign the former Derby captain, Daryl Powell, on a short-term contract. And West Brom striker Jason Roberts has agreed a new four-year deal with the club. And the FA are to investigate the violence at last night's Worthington Cup match between Watford and Luton. Riot police had to clear fighting supporters off the pitch before the game could kick off.
Newsbeat, live from New York.
Well, I've just seen two fire engines pull up just by Ground Zero. They're on alert here in case anything happens. And there's so many people here now that they're completely blocking the streets around me. In the days and weeks following September the 11th, Hollywood struggled to find the best way to respond to the tragedy. Some celebrities were personally affected, like Frasier star Kelsey Grammer, whose mate was on one of the planes that hit the Twin Towers. Others reacted by pulling out of gigs and refusing to fly. So has the mood changed a year on? In the first of two special reports, the other one tonight, Newsbeat's Peter Bowes has the story from LA.
This is a familiar scene to anyone in LA. The red carpet's out for yet another movie premiere. There's little sign of anything different, no especially heavy security, no sign of the gloom and despair that hovered over America a year ago.
If we are going to continue to do shows, I just need to hear myself talk for a couple of minutes.
Chat show host David Letterman was the first celebrity openly to express his feelings after September the 11th.
You can feel it. You can see it. It's terribly sad.
Since then, Hollywood's helped raise millions for the victims' families. And after a record-breaking summer at the box office, the entertainment business is back to normal. But many stars like Ice Cube say their attitude has changed.
Entertainers cherish their work a little more now. You know, we're being real careful about what we put out there and making sure that it's the best.
Fellow rapper Eve says she was one of those artists who reacted by running scared. Now she realizes that was pointless.
The first couple of weeks, I was like, I am not getting back on no planes. Everybody gotta come see me. The most I can do is call my mother and pray before I get on the plane.
Eve stars with Vin Diesel in Triple X, one of the year's most successful movies. Vin says for him, the attack hit very close to home.
My mother watched the second plane going to the World Trade Center from our apartment that I grew up in.
He says it left him angry that most people are powerless to change the world.
Coming out of that experience, I think we all felt this frustration. We all felt, no matter where we are in our lives, no matter what we do, we wish we could do something. We wish we could be proactive. We wish we could make a difference.
Newsbeat, live from America.
In three quarters of an hour, there's going to be a moment of silence to start the big memorial here at Ground Zero. We'll take that on Radio 1. You've been texting us all morning. Kel in Essex says 9/11 was a terrible waste of life. Laura in Portsmouth says 1 year ago we were all different people. Sarah from Northampton was here in New York when it happened.
I was just panicking, saying to my husband, oh my God, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're never going to get out of here. Literally everybody you spoke to knew somebody who worked there, for the fire service, lived next door. I feel grateful to still be here.
My name's John Paul, I'm from Winchcombe. Today's my 27th birthday. I feel that really today is a day of mourning. My heart really goes out to all the people that have lost members of family, close friends.
We'll be doing the news from here all afternoon and tonight at 5:45 with another special programme from New York.
Radio 1. Newsbeat.